Praise God. Well, we have a very special guest this morning, and it is Reverend Terry Theus, and he is a local. He is the pastor of Celebrate Recovery in Warner Robins, and he's been doing this how long now, Terry?
Four years?
Praise God. And I'm telling you, I've personally, firsthand witnessed his ministry. He had invited me to come speak. It was somewhere. I can't remember what church that was, but we came down there, and it is full of life, man. People's lives are being changed. There's a good, fruitful work he's doing in his ministry. And so the Lord just really impressed upon my heart to have him come and share with us. Because how many of you know, there's some of us out there, Pastor Robert had announced last week or asked, is there anybody out there that knows somebody personally that's struggling with some sort of addiction in their life? And it was amazing how many people raised their hand in the church. This is an epidemic, even in the church today. So we need to hear what God's word is concerning the freedom, the deliverance that we can have in Christ Jesus from these things. We're not supposed to be addicted to anything but the scriptures. Amen. Praise God. So this is going to be an awesome service today that I believe is really going to minister to us. And I went and looked at his notes a little bit. And I'm going to tell you something. We're tracking. The Holy Ghost is tracking because I know what his message is. And that's actually what I'm going to start teaching on next week. This is one of the scriptures he's using. In fact, I think he's going to use a scripture that I'm teaching on tonight. So, man, we're more alike than we realize. Praise God. It's arguable if it's better for you or better for me, praise God. But I think it's good for both of us. Amen. So without any further ado, let's give him a big welcome. Terry Theus, praise God.
Amen. Well, glory to God.
Glory to God.
What an honor it is to be with you guys this morning and to be back here. I've spoke here before in the past, had the honor to fill the podium here, and while they were in search of Brother Dickerson, and in the meantime, it was an awesome to speak here, and it's good to be back with you guys. And thank you again, High Point, Miss Shannon. Wow, she can preach as good as he can, can't she? Wow. What an honor it is to be with you guys. My name is Terry Theus. Like you said, I am the Celebrate Recovery pastor at the Assembly. I've been doing this for 4 years. We've been at the Assembly now for about 6 months. We moved over there about 6 months ago. We have a big event coming up I wanted to introduce to you guys. I've got some cards out there on the stand out there, and it's May 5th. And we have a guy named Jamie Torres is coming. This guy has been on TNN. He's shared his testimony. He's written a book. This guy was a gang member, shot, almost lost his life in prison. God got a hold of him, turned his life around, and now he's sharing the gospel with people. And that night we'll have a big barbecue dinner. The ladies from the Potter's House will be there. They will be doing a dance. Our worship team will be there. It's going to be a great night. We're inviting all of the different recovery groups. I know the ladies, Miss Doreen, and the ladies from the Abba House will be there. Teen Challenge, the Rescue Mission, the guys from Promise of Hope. And the place is just going to be packed out with people needing God. And one of the things that God has done for me is allowed me to be in a place of evangelism. I feel like that Celebrate Recovery is the gift that God has given me to do evangelistic work. Now, I don't know how many of you have been saved more than 5 or 6 years, but you know that if back when I first got saved, you could put on the marquee a revival and everybody would show up. You could do that today and nobody will come. You know why? I don't know that. But you can put Celebrate Recovery out there, helping the people who are hurting, that have habits and that have hang-ups. And I tell you, man, it's been unbelievable to see the people that will come in that are all broken, that we get an opportunity to introduce them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are getting saved every week, man. We had 6 people get saved last week. The altars are full at just about every service. I had a special blessing that happened to me. I had a cousin. His name is Grady Jones. This guy was one of the meanest guys I ever had met in my life. I can remember whenever I was a little kid, my mom would take us over to my aunt's house. And he was a lot older than me, but I mean, every time we'd be over there, it seemed like that he would be getting in trouble. She'd have to go to the police department to get him out of jail. He had wrecked his motorcycle. He had gotten a fight. I mean, something was always happening. This guy was mean. Well, we lost contact with him, and through Celebrate Recovery, he contacted me and said, "Hey, Terry, I heard you're at Celebrate Recovery." "Yeah," he said. "Well, I've been dealing with some addictions. I've been going to AA." He said, I've gotten where I'm not drinking anymore." He said, "But I want to try out that Celebrate Recovery." And so he came over there. You know, AA gives you 12 steps to stop drinking, but they talk about the higher power. Our main focus at Celebrate Recovery is a life change with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that became the focal point. And 2 weeks ago, my cousin, Grady Jones, came forward and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And I believe he's going to get baptized this week. I called my cousin, Miss Peggy, and she couldn't believe it. She said, "Terry, you don't kid me like that." I said, I ain't kidding you. I said, and just like you said, anything that's happening in this world, our God is bigger than that. God is the God of the turnaround.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, if you got your Bibles, if you would turn to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua. And while you're turning there, I know we've talked about some of the things that are happening in our society today. And, you know, there's no telling what's going to happen. I heard a story about a man and his wife went out to eat dinner recently. And when they came home, they walked in the door and the wife turned on the light and they walked in on an intruder. And the intruder had a gun and he goes, "Oh, my goodness. You've caught me," he said, "but I've never let anybody live who has seen me." He said, "but before I kill you, I need to know your name." He pointed the gun at the woman and said, "What is your name?" She said, "My name's Elizabeth." He goes, "No, no, not Elizabeth. That's my mother's name. I can't shoot you." He points the gun at the man. He said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name's John, but all my friends call me Elizabeth." All right. We're talking about the coronavirus and how many people is killing. Today I want to just give you a few statistics and the need that is so evident in our community. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in America today. Over 47,000 people took their life last year. Over 1 million tried to commit suicide. Alcohol-related deaths. Over 88,000 people died of alcohol-related deaths last year. Is that a virus? Meth is an addiction that's taken over people's lives. Drug overdose, over 63,000 people. Why are we not talking about those things? About 650,000 ages 12 and older are addicted to heroin today. Wow. We deal with people and help them to get out of their addiction, but one of the things that we find that those that come clean or go to a program that get clean, that 40 to 60% of those people relapse. The statistics of that is cut down to about 10 to 12% of those that make a commitment to Jesus Christ. Wow, why is that? Because when that addiction in your life is replaced with a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is a game changer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. The game changer. I like that. We just call him that. He's the game changer. Joshua 1, are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now I want you to look at the person next to you, and I want you to tell them, say, "You're going to learn something today. Or else we ain't going to be able to keep being friends." All right. All right. Maybe I'm going to learn something today too. What an honor it is again to be with you guys. I feel and sense the power of the Holy Ghost in here. And one of the things that I don't have to do, and I want to ask Miss Shannon, if when I go and preach, I would like for you to go and speak to everybody before I get up there, because you get everybody stirred up. And you got the ace in the hole there, brother. I tell you what. That's good. That's good. And the worship team, you guys did a phenomenal job. Thank you for leading us into God's presence. Y'all give it up for them. Such a wonderful spirit in this place. Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all of these people, to the land which I will give to them, the children of Israel. Every place the soles of their feet will tread, I will give to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and all the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be..." How many men?
No man.
Ooh, that's good right there, man. "Shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong." Everybody say, "Be strong."
Be strong.
"And of good courage, for to this people you shall divide and inherit the land which I swore to them, your fathers, to give to them. Only be strong." Say it again. Be strong.
"Be strong
and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous." Who said God don't want you to prosper? "And then and then you will have good success." Wow, there's something else too. "And I..." Let's see. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong." One more time. "Be strong.
Be strong.
And good courage. Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Amen.
The title of what I want to speak to you guys about today is the law of the mirror. The law of the mirror. If you would, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, over the next few moments, speak, Lord, for your children are listening. Speak, Lord, for this is why we have come. And we give you praise and glory for what you're going to do, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. I've got I think it's a very simple message today. And what I want to talk to you is about three things. Three things. Of course, it is the law of the mirror. What is the law of the mirror? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've got certain mirrors I like to look at. I found a place at the assembly in one of the back bathrooms back there. When I walk into this bathroom and I look at myself in this mirror, I look about 10 years younger. Wow, I like that bathroom back there. I go, man, I'm looking good in this mirror right here. You know, some of the mirrors in our house, I don't look so good. My wife's got one of those flipping mirrors that flips like this, that's round. And you look at it and it all of a sudden, man, your face gets all in it. I don't know if I like myself. And then you flip it to the other side and then you get even bigger. I don't want to see all my pores and all that. So what? Why are you even looking at that? I mean, help us, Jesus. The law of the mirror, though, is, I want to tell you this right here. When we come and we look at God's word, it's like looking in a mirror. Because the thing about when we look in a mirror, we don't go and look in a mirror so we can examine the mirror. The mirror winds up examining us. Sometimes we take God's word and we set it out and we say, let's study it. Let's look at God's word. Let's study God's word. But what happens is God's words begin to study you. And all of a sudden it starts calling out you, and God starts to figure out what's going on in your life. That's one of the laws of the mirror. Today I'm going to talk to you about three things: where you were, where you are, and where you're going. All right. Those are very simple truths right there, okay? So right now I want to talk to you, start off with, about where you were. Where was your life? And the pastor said that earlier. Revelations 2:5 says, remember from the height from which you have fallen, go back and do what you did at first. I had a great opportunity last night. I spoke at Peachtree City at a Better Way Ministry. There was probably about 130, 140 men there that are in a 18-month program. And I got to share my testimony there. And let me tell you something. When you get an opportunity to remember what God's brought you from, and you start remembering what He's done in the past and where He's brought you to, that is a great place to be. And man, I tell you what, I get fired up remembering that thing, because the devil wants us to remember all the negative things that are happening in our life, not the great things that God's done. Joshua had been in the desert for 40 years when this scripture is written, and he's standing at the edge of the Jordan River. And now he's got 2 million Israelites ready to go into the promised land. God's given him a promise right here. And what he's doing now, you got to think about this right here. This is the moment that he's been ushered into leadership. Moses is gone, and now he's the leader. And now he has to go and think back. What happened back there? And the things that happened in the back there, we don't want it to continue to happen, do we? Do we want to walk into God's promise? I want to talk to you for just a moment about potential that is squashed. Have you ever had somebody speak into your life that caused you to walk away from something you should not have walked away from? Maybe even God's promise. It's important to make sure who you're letting into your space. In Numbers 13, 30 and 31, the children, this is the first time they were at the Jordan River. Moses had sent the spies in. You guys all, I think I'm preaching to the choir today. So most of you guys, if y'all been sitting under Pastor Trey, y'all know these scriptures. And so we don't have to go back over them to inform you on them. But let me tell you, they're at the edge of the promised land. It's time to go in. God has given them this land, and then they send in the spies. But the spies come back out, and 10 of them start saying, we can't do this. We can't do this. But Joshua and Caleb, everybody starts rumbling. And all of a sudden, Caleb said, everybody get quiet. Hush. The people got quiet. He said, let us go up at once and possess this land, because we are well able to go in and overtake these people. And then here comes the but, the big old but. He was talking about, if you look there in verse 31, the men who had gone with him said, we are not able to go up against those people because they are stronger than we are. That's where they messed up right there. They are stronger than they are, and most of our problems and our issues are stronger than we are, but they're not stronger than our God is. Come on, somebody. Y'all give him a hand clap of praise, if you would. Come on. Wow, wow. The enemy has come like a thief, except to kill, steal, and destroy. But God's come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. One of the things that will limit us is low self-esteem. It will put a ceiling on our life. Who are you letting in your space? Who are you listening to? Who's keeping you from God's promises? And the more people that you listen to that are negative, the worse off you're going to be. I had a father that told me I was an accident, a mistake. I was never going to amount to anything. My life was prophesied over my father, and I allowed that prophecy to take fruition. Do you know, right now I go into the prisons. I speak at Baldwin Central, Dooley State Prison. I preach at the Rescue Mission or wherever they'll open up a door for me to share my story. But when you go into the prisons, you recognize that 75% of all the men that are in prison, they come from a fatherless home or an absentee father in their life. Do you realize that in your life, by the time you're 18 years old, you've been told no 150,000 times? Wow. And you've only been told yes about 5,000 times. Wow. It's time for us to start listening to the yeses in our life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to tell you for just a moment right here. I want to go back to looking back where we were. Where we were. The negativity that was over my life. The things that were spoken over me that caused me to get on a path that was self-destructive. My life had become out of control. I was addicted to meth. I started doing drugs when I was 11 years old. It continued to spiral out of control. By the time I was 23 years of age, I'd been arrested. I'd been stabbed. I'd almost lost my life. And I came to a place meth was my drug of choice. And I don't know how many of you know about meth, but what it will do, it will kind of geek you up and then you won't go to sleep. And I'd like that, but I mean, I would go days, 4 or 5 days, just wide open going, and then you could drink and do other drugs. And I would do that. I would drink liquor, smoke pot, and then just do meth until I came to a place where I would just flat out collapse. And then I would just be, you know, out for 2 or 3 days, and then I'd get back up and then look for it again. This addiction had complete control of my life. When I was 23 years of age, I was out doing this meth. I'd probably been on a 3 or 4 day binge, and it was probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I had a guy in the car with me. We were smoking pot. It was clouded up. I had liquor. I had meth in the car. And I was on Houston Lake Road in Warner Robins, if you know where I'm at. And I turned left onto Russell Parkway. And as soon as I turned left onto Russell Parkway, a police officer pulled in behind me and turned on his blue lights. Now, I didn't know that he was there. I was so messed up, I didn't even realize he had turned on his blue lights. Well, police officers don't like very kindly when you don't pull over when they turn on their blue lights. So he pulled up beside me, and he had this loud horn that went, and I looked over at him. He's going, pull over, pull over. I went, oh, my goodness, roll down the window. All the smoke going out, you know. We pulled over, and we pulled over on Russell Parkway in Oakland Baptist Church parking lot. How many of y'all know where that is? The police officer came over there, shook his head, and said, get out of the car. I got out. I fell out of the car. He handcuffed me. He threw me in the back of the car. And I can remember when he was putting me in the back of the car, he looked at me, and he said, son, he said, if you don't change your life, you're going to wind up dead or in prison. I just looked at him and I said, I know, I know. My life was spiraling out of control. That is where I was. Joshua and the children of Israel had went away from the promise of God and went back into the wilderness doing something what we would call insanity. What is the definition of insanity? Is doing the same thing and expecting different results. They were going around a mountain, going around a mountain, going around a mountain. Listen to this right here. And Joshua, I want to go from where we were to where we're going. Number two, point two. Okay, I'm moving along here. To where you are. Sorry, help me, Jesus. Y'all say help him, Lord. He don't know, help him, Lord.
It's all right, come on.
Pastor Trey and his wife, Miss Shannon, they are magna cum laude, summa cum laude, and I'm one of those guys, y'all just say, help him, Lord. My wife asked me, the other day, she said, most of the people that do meth, she said, meth was your drug of choice. She said, most of the people that do meth had lost all their teeth. She said, why didn't you lose your teeth? I said, well, back when I was doing it, I was just snorting it. I wasn't smoking it. People smoking it today. I said, but you know how those people look with that have lost their teeth? I said, that's what happened to my brain. So that's what my brain looks like, so help me. Sometimes I get online and I'm doing good, and sometimes you got to help me, Lord. All right. Where you are. ask you a question. Where are you at right now? Where are you at with your walk with God? Are you at a place where God is calling you to a higher place? Or are you wanting to camp right where you're at? Are you wanting to stay where you're at? Are you wanting to move higher in God? Do you want all God has for you? Do you want God's promise over your life to be fulfilled? I don't care where you are, how old you are, what position you're in, God has a bigger plan for you, and He wants you to conquer more territory. That was good right there. That wasn't even in my notes right there. Yeah. All right. Joshua is standing on the edge of his promise. What if you were standing right here on the edge of your promise? Would you go in to that promised land, or would you stay where you're at? Are you okay with where you're at, or do you want all God has for you? One of the things I loved about Joshua and Caleb is these guys wasn't satisfied. They wanted their promise that God had for them. Do you want God's promise? Say, I want it.
I want it.
All right. Well, let's go get it, y'all. Come on. Let's go get it. The scripture says in Joshua 1:5, it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land that I've swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Wow. Whenever I was at this place of destruction in my life, I was at a place where I was living, going around this mountain over and over and over, expecting different results. I didn't know anything about church. We didn't know anything about God. My parents divorced when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, and had nobody speaking into my life. My mom was raising three boys. I'm the youngest of three. And she was having to work all the time, so we pretty much raised ourselves. So I was out there doing whatever I wanted to. So I was getting involved in drugs. I was doing things. And nobody was ever speaking anything over me. And I can remember even being in school, my teachers would tell me the exact same thing that my father would. Terry, you're going to wind up dead or in prison. I know that. Everybody spoke over me those words. Nobody ever spoke life. Y'all talked about it here. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. I was at Ted Wright Park in Moody Road in Warner Robins, Georgia. And I was sitting on a bench park on a Saturday night waiting for a drug shipment to come in. We had a cooler full of beer, and I was smoking pot. And we were just sitting there drinking, waiting for it to come in. And these guys came up and started playing basketball. I told the guys I was sitting with over there, I said, I'm going to go over and shoot a game of basketball. Okay. So I went over and played, and as soon as we got through, the guy that was on the court looked at me and he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. He said, good, we all need to serve God. And then he walked away. Wow. Do you know that was the most penetrating question I'd ever been asked in my life? Man, I didn't know what was happening to me, Brother Trey, but the power of the Holy Spirit came and jumped all over me, man. It was awful. I mean, everybody could tell something was on me. I went back and sat back down with those guys over there, and they looked at me and said, Theus, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know, man. He said, well, here, smoke this. I said, I don't want that. He said, well, here, drink this. I said, I don't want that. He said, well, what do you want? I said, I don't know. I said, I tell you what. I said, take me home. Take me home. They said, okay. They took me home. I was 24 years of age. I'd been addicted to drugs since I was 11 years old. I didn't know anything about God. Nobody ever introduced me to God. But this one question penetrated me. Something deep inside of me longed for somebody to want something to do with me. Oh, my goodness. I went home and I walked in. I said, Mom, I said, is there a Bible in this house? She said, Yeah, there's one back there in my bedroom. I walked in the bedroom and I grabbed her Bible and I looked at it and I went, good gracious, look at that. How in the world can anybody do all that? I said, there's no way I can do that. I said, God, I can't do all that. I said, God, you wouldn't want me, would you? Would you want me, God? I said, I tell you what, God, if you'll show me in this word right here what I can do to get saved, I'll give you my life. I took the Bible and I opened it up, and it opened up to Romans 10:13. It said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I went, there ain't no way. It can't be that easy. I said, there's no way. I said, there's absolutely no way. I got down on my hands and knees and I said, God, I told you I'd give you my life. In the best way I knew how, asked Christ to come into my life. And I felt like a guy that was in the bottom of a swimming pool, been down there all, and somebody all of a sudden let their hand off of me. And I came up to the top and went, oh, good gracious. I started screaming. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. I said, I'm saved, I'm saved. I started running around the house screaming. I said, Mom, Mom, come here and look at me. Come here and look at me. She said, what is wrong with you, son? She said, what have you done this time? She said, you done, but what kind of drugs have you been doing? I said, Mom, it isn't drugs this time. It's Jesus. I said, I had an encounter. I'm saved. I said, look at me. I said, come here. And I made her come and look at me. And I said, let's look in the mirror. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and it had been years since I'd even been able to look at myself because I was become so deceitful, so corrupt, so mean, and so evil that even when I was getting ready, I would not even look at myself. And now she looked at me, and she said, son, she said, I don't see anything different. I said, I do. I do. Everything's changed, Mom. But God had saved me and set me free and deliver me. She said, man, all right. So what had happened to you? Man, I was so excited. God instantaneously delivered me, set me free from drugs and alcohol. How do you know that, Terry? Well, I know that because of this right here. Now, if you were to come today and Pastor Trey was to pray for you or his wife was to pray for you and you get saved and one of the first things they would tell you is says you don't need to go back around those people because you lay down with dogs, you're going to get what?
Fleas.
You're going to get fleas. Well, see, nobody was there to tell me that. So I just gotten saved. I needed to tell somebody that I got saved. I showed up. I knew where the meth shipment was coming. I went and knocked on the door, and I got there, had my Bible, had my one scripture. They said, I opened up the door. I said, Theus, we're glad you're here. And I said, man, I can't wait to see you. Tell y'all what happened to me. They said, what is it? I said, man, I got saved. And I walked in. Listen to this right here. The drug that I had so much control over my life was sitting there on the table. Alcohol, marijuana, all that was sitting there. I took my arm and I slid it out of the way. And I laid my Bible down. I started opening it up and I started reading scripture to them. They started looking at me and going, he's done messed up. They back up and said, man, something happened to Theus, man. Oh my goodness, man, what's happening to him? I said, it's God. I read scripture to him all night, came back the next night, and started reading scripture to him again. And the guy come here and said, Theus, I need to talk to you. So what is it? What is it, man? You want to get saved? Get saved? No, no, no. I don't want to get saved. We all excited that you got saved and all. He said, but I got something to tell you. What is it? He said, well, we've been talking, man. You came over here and you're reading the Bible and scripture and you got saved and all that. We can't even have fun anymore. Man, you're killing our buzz. I said, well, what are you saying? He said, well, what I'm telling you is that you can't come over here anymore. And I said, what? We've been friends for years. I said, what will I do? Where will I go? He said, well, dude, why don't you go find a church or something? I said, yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll go find a church. I went home and asked my mom. I said, how do you find a church? She said, just open up the newspaper. I opened up the newspaper, and sure enough, right there, all kinds of churches. I started circling. One of the first churches I went to was Christ United Methodist on Russell Parkway. Man, do you think they was ready for me? I showed up the first day, they were saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Help me. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. They said that. I jumped up and went, yes! I turned around and looked, and everybody was going. Pastor looked over at me. He said, we don't do that here. We don't do that here. I said, you should. You should. They asked the little boy. He got saved at church, and he told his mom when he got in the vehicle. He said, Mom, I gave my life to Christ today. She says, well, son, what does it feel like? He said, Mom, it feels like I got a tiger in my tank. Wow. When you've been longing for God in your life and you've been empty, and all of a sudden the power of God comes and resonates in you, all of a sudden you've got a tiger in your tank. Wow. The power of positive self-esteem. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans of good and not evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope. I started going to a church called First Assembly of God. It was on Alberta Road in Warner Robins, Georgia. And I mean, I showed up for every meeting, everything that was going on. I found out they had a church softball team. I'd never really played softball, but hey, the church is doing it. I wanted to be around these Jesus people. Yes. Well, the pastor was in charge of the team, and I showed up out there, and I started playing. And first tournament, they were going to a tournament, and I went with them, and I went 1 for 18. That means out of 18 times, I got one hit. And I think they just put it on there so I wouldn't go 0 for. After we had played a few games and a few practices, pastor called me off to the side, and he said, Terry, I need to talk to you. What is it? He said, you know, I don't know how to tell you this, but, you know, you're really not that good at softball. He said something, though. He said, but, Terry, everybody say but. He said, but I believe that if you practiced, you could be really good. He thinks I could be good. That's all I thought. I said, all right. So what I did, I went to work the next day. I asked this guy, I said, now who do you know in Warner Robins, Georgia, that's the best softball player in Warner Robins, Georgia? He said, well, this guy named Terrell Stokes. Any of y'all know a guy named Terrell Stokes? And this guy, I got a couple people, uh-oh, that's going to shame you right there. That guy, he could hit home runs. I mean, this guy, just a phenomenal Christian guy. He loves the Lord, hardworking guy. But man, he was one of the best softball players that ever walked in Warner Robins. I called him up and I said, Terrell, I want to become a good softball player. He said, meet me at the ball field. He let me tote his bags. He let me follow him around. He pitched me softballs. He let me go pick up all the balls after he had hit them. Most of them were over the other side of the fence after he hit them on the home run. I'd follow him out there in the trees. I'm chasing them around. Well, I kept going year after year with him and meeting 2, 3, 4 times a week and going to tournaments with him. And then I kept showing up at our softball games. Our team was really good at the assembly. We won League 3, we won League 2, and then now we're in League 1. We're going into League 1 in Warner Robins. Our first game of the year, we were playing against the Second Baptist Bombers. Everybody say, ooh. Second Baptist Bombers had won the league 10 years in a row, and they had not even lost a game in the last 4 years. All right. And we were playing on the first game, but we thought we could beat this giant. We thought we could whoop them because we were good. We'd won all these things. We thought we was as good as anybody. But the game was back and forth all the way to the end. Came down to the last out of the game. We were batting. And I was on deck. We had 2 people on, a guy on second and third, and I'm standing on deck. Now, I'm standing there, and I'm scared to death. Could I hold this right here for just a second, my brother? All right, well, I love a good illustration here. All right. All right, I'm standing over there holding my bat like this, hoping. I'm thinking, I hope this guy right here gets a hit so I don't have to go up there. I don't want to go up there in this clutch situation. I'm scared to death. Well, the coach for the other team called a timeout. And he walked out there on the mound, and he said, I could see him look over there at me, and then the guy that was batting, and he said, walk this guy to get to me. I had not gotten a hit all game long, so they was wanting to pitch to me, so I'm going, all right, Terry, you can do it. I'm scared to death. I can remember standing up there, and I'm scared to death going, oh, my goodness. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. By that time, my pastor called a timeout. He said, Terry, come here. Yes, sir. What is it? He said, I need to tell you something. I said, yes, sir. He said, man, I've been watching you. He said, man, you've been practicing. He said, you're going out there hitting over and over and over again. He said, even in practice, you're getting where you can hit the ball out of the park. He said, now look at me. He said, when you go back up there, he said, I don't want you to go up there and not strike out. I don't want you to hit a single or a double. I want you to go up there and hit the ball out of the park. I said, whoa, you know, that's what I'm talking about. All right, so I went back up there like this. I said, come on. They pitched that ball. I stepped into it. Boom. I hit the ball out of the park. Come on, give me some right there. Hit the ball out of the park. Why did that happen? Because somebody that was in authority over me spoke into my life and they believed in me, way back to the point when he started saying, I believe you can be good. If you will practice, if you will do the things, if you will lay out the steps, God has a purpose and a plan for you. Yes, he does. Now, Joshua is at the edge of the promised land. He found the best softball player around. His name was Moses. He carried his bags everywhere. He was watching everything Moses did. Moses taught him everything he knew. And now it's his time. His time. Where are we going? Where are you going? The law of the mirror. Are you going to believe what the world says about you? Or are you going to believe what God says about you?
Come on.
A man went to a fortune teller to find out his future, and she looked in the crystal ball and said, you're going to be poor and unhappy until you're 45 years old. He goes, with a little bit of hope in his mind, he goes, and then what? And she said, you'll get used to it. Now listen, we ain't going to get used to being poor and unhappy. We're going to keep going what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians, talking about from glory to glory. God has one miracle to the next miracle to the next miracle in our lives. Set the stage for God to do a great work. I like one of my favorite leadership gurus is John Maxwell. And John Maxwell says a great leader lays out his steps and he gets to stepping. As Christians, that's something we need to do. God wants us to do daily. It's not going to be this huge thing, but little by little, we're going to get those steps and move towards the promises. Pastor, whenever I went to the assembly, I was at Shady Grove, and the pastor there, they just hired a new pastor, and I guess he had a new vision, a new thought process, but he came to me and he said, Terry, I want to tell you this right here. He said, we're going to have to cut funding for the Celebrate Recovery. Everybody say, ooh. Man, I mean, my heart dropped. I mean, God was using this ministry in a powerful way. It was growing. Actually, the Celebrate Recovery had outgrown the church. And people were getting saved every week. God was doing a work. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? I had met Pastor Darrell a few weeks before that. I didn't know what to think about him. You know, I mean, I'd met him, I thought he was a good man, but I went and talked to him and said, told him what was going on. And Pastor Darrell looked at me and he said, Terry, he said, man, you don't need to tap the brakes on that ministry. He said, I tell you what, if that church is not at a place to support that ministry, he said, I will hire you as our recovery minister here. He said, and that ministry does not need to slow down. I mean, I started weeping and crying. I said, why in the world would you do that? He said, because when I heard about what God was doing over there, I was wondering, why are we not doing that here? I thought, yes, give him a hand clap. Yeah. I know I got to close here because we got to beat some. We might not ever beat the Baptists to the buffet or the Methodists. But y'all so fired up, y'all don't care, do you?
Uh-uh.
All right. But man, he spoke life into me.
Yeah.
And he said, Terry, we believe in you and believe in what God's doing in your life.
Man,
when people do that, man, it just empowers us.
Yeah.
Your pastor believing in me and allowing me to come and speak here. You know, I don't feel like I'm worthy to be doing this. I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who saved me. That's all I am. 2 Timothy, fear is one of the issues I've dealt with. And in this scripture, Joshua keeps dealing with fear, fear, fear. I'll tell you this right here. Whenever I got saved, I'm told you, I'm fired up. The first church I started going to was Christ United Methodist. And they wasn't ready for me. And I came back like after the second week, I'd been reading my word. And I said, Pastor Cooper, Buddy Cooper was his name. I said, listen, I've been reading the word. I said, and I want everything God has for me. I said, you know, and it says in here, I'm supposed to get baptized. I said, I'm ready to get baptized. I said, is that all right? He said, yeah, I know that, Terry. I said, well, when are we going to baptize me? He goes, well, Terry, I got something to tell you, man. I said, what is it? He said, well, we don't have a baptism pool here. And I went, good gracious, Pastor, man, I want to get baptized. We got to figure this thing out. What am I going to do? I want everything God has for me. He said, settle down, chill out. Whew. Let's take a deep breath. He said, I tell you what, come next week, bring your clothes, ready to change. He said, I'll figure something out. I said, all right, I'm coming back. Next week, I showed up, man, I was early, got there. I said, ready after church. I come up and said, all right, Brother Cooper, what are we going to do, man? You going to baptize me? He said, yes, sir. He said, after church, I want you to meet me down at Oakland Baptist Church parking lot. He said, I've talked to that pastor. He's going to allow us to go in there and baptize you. Last time I'd pulled into that parking lot, I got pulled over. They handcuffed me, took me to jail. This time I pulled into the parking lot. They opened up the doors to the church and brought me in there. And all the chains of my past had been broken off of my life. Yeah. And I'm going in there to get baptized. And one of the cool things about this right here, Joshua is sitting at the edge of the River Jordan. And I didn't know anything about God, know anything that's going on. The guy that was the pastor of the church stood there and he had this big vial of water. And when I walked down into the water, he started pouring it in there. I said, what is that? He said, that is water from the River Jordan. I said, all right. I said, well, bless me, Lord. I just want to get baptized. But I'm looking back there. But at that moment, you're thinking about, what is the River Jordan? That is right on this side of our promise. We have to go through it, the baptism of that, to get to that promised land that God has for us. Yes, God was doing that for me when I didn't even know what I was doing. God will bless us in our ignorance sometimes, won't he? All right, do you have somebody that can play something soft? All right. Getting ready to close. Y'all know that's one of the main things that preachers say all the time. Getting ready to close. Getting ready to close.
And don't ever close.
Not here. Okay, well, I better close then. This is good right here.
It's good.
I done said all this to come to this. Joshua, man, why does God keep saying in that word right there, have I not commanded you? Be strong. Joshua is a man that had been with Moses, and he knew that fear was going to grip him. And the Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And God, over and over, kept telling Joshua, don't fear. Do you know what was happening right here? This is what I see. Brother Trey, he was about to go in and face the Second Baptist Bombers. All right, now looking right here, they looked down and Moses was up to bat. God said, I'm taking him. out of the game. Now, Joshua, you up to bat. What you going to do?
Amen.
Joshua's scared to death. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. God calls a timeout. Timeout. Joshua, come here. Come here. Let me talk to you. Joshua, I've been watching you. You've been practicing. You hitting the ball out of the park. You doing all these great things. You've been with Moses, man. You hanging out with Moses. You seen what done with Moses? You know that same spirit that was on Moses. He has prayed and laid on you. And the God of Moses, is now the God that's going to direct you. Everywhere the soles of your feet shall touch, I'm going to give to you. Joshua got a different look on his face. He said, whoa. Now look at verse 10 right here. It goes back and it says, after Joshua had been told all those things, he didn't go back. He didn't say, go hit a single, get a double. He said, hit the ball out of the park. I want to give it all to you. Listen to this right here. It says, Joshua, in Joshua 1:10, it says, then Joshua commanded. Everybody says commanded. He didn't go back and say, we need to take a vote. I don't know that we should do this or not. No, I'm not sure. You know, I'm kind of scared, you know. He come back and the Bible says Joshua commanded the officers, all the people, and he said, pass through the camp. Tell everybody to prepare themselves. In 3 days, we're going into the land that God has given us. Wow. Do you want to go into God's purpose, God's plan for your life? Or do you want to stay where you're at? All I know is I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. If you want to stay on this side of Jordan, stay here by yourself because I'm going over. Is anybody going with me? All right. Well, what I want you to do, I want you to think about your problem, your issue, your situation, where you're at. I'm going to allow everybody that raised their hand, if you would, we're just going to come up here and we're going to say a prayer over you. And we're going to believe that God is going to give us this land. He's going to give us these addicts. He's going to give us back those people that are addicted. And all those things that have been stolen from us, God is going to give it to us. Would you come and let's stand and let's have a prayer together. I'm going after mine. All right. Thank you. Thank you. If you've got a child or somebody in your family that's addicted, I want to anoint you and we're going to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for this son that's addicted. Lord, we pray right now the power of addiction will be broken. We claim right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The chains are broken. I want to ask right now, if you would, everybody close your eyes for just a moment. Is there anybody in the room that would say, Brother Terry, I'm here, and all this sounds good. I've heard God's word, but I'm here and I'm not a Christian. I'm away from God. I'm not where I need to be with God. If that's you, everybody in this room is praying for you. I want you to say, that's me, Brother Terry. I'm not where I need to be. Raise your hand. I want to say, Brother Terry, that's me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Now you're standing around a bunch of people right now that says, we're going to believe like Joshua and Caleb. We're going to go and step into the promises that God has for us. We're not staying on this side of Jordan. Georgia was something there too. I said, y'all pray for me. Bless him, Lord. He don't know any better. Help him, Lord. But thank you for your attendance today, for engagement. I felt and sensed God's power. The faith that's in this room is contagious. And I believe that God has great things in store for this church and this body of believers. And I'm going to ask Pastor Trey to say the closing prayer of you guys. And by walking forward, you indicated, I want what God has for me. Can you give him a hand clap of praise?
Thank you, Lord. So, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for all the Joshuas and Calebs that are here today that are willing to go with you to go over the Jordan and possess their promised land. And Father, I pray for every person here that has loved ones that might be struggling with addictions in their life. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that when we believe you, when we stand with you, our seed is blessed. So we speak blessings over our loved ones, over our own bodies, any person struggling in their own personal life. Father, I thank you that right now there is a breaking point, a possession of what you have promised. And Father, we thank you for that today. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. And I want you to look at me for a moment. We have a member of our body right now that needs our agreement right now. Larry King, who is a member of our church, had to go back to Emory this week. Many of y'all knew what's been going on with him. He had to have another procedure done yesterday. And they need us to stand with them today that there would be no infection. No infection. So can you believe for that with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our brother and declare there is no infection in that aorta valve in the name of Jesus. That, Father, this is being remedied right now, and they're not going to go around this same mountain any further in the name of Jesus. We speak healing and life over them, and we thank you that as our part of our body, they are blessed. Hallelujah. And we've got another couple that's a member of our church that they're moving to Colorado this week. And we want to speak blessings over them, Hal and Linda Pritchett. So y'all, make sure you hug them around the neck and speak blessings on them as they move back out there. But Father, we just speak blessings over them. We thank you for all manner of provision being made for them in the name of Jesus. We love them and we bless them as they go in Jesus' name.